Microsoft is having a bit of a year. First, it took the fight to its competitors in the consumer space when it added OpenAI's GPT engine to its search engine, Bing, and its Edge browser. And now everyone is in love with the Moody chatbot. What a time to be alive. But this isn't Microsoft's first rodeo, or even its first $1 billion investment into OpenAI. First, a little history on OpenAI. The company was founded by a consortium that included Elon Musk and Amazon Web Services. Then it built out those awesome game bots that owned Dota Champs, and took a little bit of tech from Google's machine learning operations and built out a language transformer model. GPT stands for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. And the transformer part was developed by Google Labs. On a basic level, a language transformer predicts the next word in a sentence after training itself on a dataset. GPT-3, the third iteration of GPT, is trained on 175 billion parameters and uses its transformer machine learning abilities to take that next word guessing game and apply it to other things, like generating code from natural language text queries. When Microsoft invested its first $1 billion into OpenAI in 2020, it exclusively licensed the GPT-3 model and set about deploying AI at scale on its Azure cloud services. And then it baked it into its client-facing products as an easy way for non-coding employees to begin creating automations and little apps to make their work easier. Microsoft calls this platform Power Platform, and Azure customers using its AI-infused cloud power are generating an average of 4.5 billion words a day for hundreds of apps in production across multiple sectors.
You know, this notion of innovation is very much connected to what it takes to stay relevant.
Yes.
You know, and this, you know, and this, in this ongoing changing environment, change can create stress, you know, and so that's one piece that what could tackle the best possible way the innovation piece, and the innovation piece also in the context of the way we work has changed. What I'm going to do to sustain the ability to attract talents, you know, people who are willing to stay in the country, maybe, you know, from a society perspective, people who I want to attract in my corporation, I want to retain in my corporation, and give them, you know, opportunity to develop their career, contribute themselves. And so one thing is this innovation piece and what is our role and how we are thinking, you know, in responding to this need, which is an anxiety component as well, but how we translate that in an opportunity. The second thing is a bit of what I said, you know, when we started, is just this new way of working. You know, it's just, you know, whether we want to call it hybrid work or new way of work, what does it mean? It says that somehow the COVID has been the forcing function. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes a forcing function. But, you know, almost, let's say, you know, thanks to the technology, we have been able to enable people to transition from the way they were used to work for maybe many, many years to adapting to a new situation. And that's the piece that also is an important one in the way of reflecting strategically about what comes next from a technology perspective.
When Microsoft South Africa gave me the opportunity to sit at a round table with Vahe Tarossian, Corporate Vice President for Business Applications, at the end of last year, I jumped at the chance. But I sat on this audio until there was a major shift in the AI landscape. I think there's been a big enough shift. Vahe has since announced that he'll be leaving Microsoft this year, but I'm very happy that I got to nerd out with him about the transformative moment we're in right now with AI, before it was cool. Welcome to Unencrypted, a weekly podcast that delivers knowledge bombs in 20 minutes or less. This one detonates now.
With like the low-code, no-code kind of solutions that you're offering, how much customization is there for these organizations?
Yes, it's a very good question. So the Dynamics 365 set of applications are solution, you know, SaaS application solution, let's say, or software as a service, as we say. The low-code, no-code, which is under the brand of Power Platform, has multiple components. But it's everything is around the low-code, no-code technology. What is it? Is it, you know, it is basically at the core a set of mutable templates that have been designed for people who are non-developers, professional developers, to be able to use and, you know, to fix some, let's say, almost what I will call a last mile, you know, problem, right? The thing that you are in front of the customer every day on the call center, you know, in the on a retail shop, and you face this dissatisfaction. I mean, you are in the airport, your luggage is lost. The poor guy is seeing that every single day, and yet he's seeing what the corporate guys are doing. You know, the guys are I'm getting the claim all the time. So that person, not being a developer, you know, is not expected to develop something. But if he or she was able to get the tools to say, I can cherry pick the templates that are going to enable me to fix these things. It's an application that you can bring on your mobile phone and so on. And so that's what is the local no-code. And so the application have started in that ground. So what we call the citizen developer, where the non-professional, let's say, users in any company that could say, you know what, enough is enough about this problem. I can fix it. It's not top priority maybe for my company. You know, I need, of course, the support of my IT or, you know, leadership, but I want to get access to these tools and quickly do it. Because the notion of speed is important as well. Yeah. Not only it's easy to do, but it's fast to implement. And so that has been the reason why of the huge acceleration, because all of a sudden that helps to fix problems in a very tangible way, on a fast manner, but it also helps to fix another one issue, which is the shortage of professional developers.
Yes.
And you know, the latest number that we have worldwide, and I don't have the equivalent for South Africa, but we can see if we have it. It's about 20 million developers in the world today, professional developers.
Yeah.
If you take the summary of the inventory of what people need, you will need 20 more million. And there's no way this is going to happen in the foreseeable future. So the interesting thing that we started to do is to say, well, if you look at any company, you know, small, mid-size, corporate, or you know, and you take three type of profile. You say, you know, the profile of people who are using Outlook, for example, an email capability, and say, you know what, you know, if you send me a mail, I'm going to create a rule. You know, I'm going to say, you are going to be on top of my inbox and you are going to be on board. That's a rule. It's a bit more sophisticated than just reading and responding. If you say, you know, well, you know what, I'm using Excel or Access Database, I'm just going to do some macro. It's a bit more sophisticated than just using a. And then if you take PowerPoint, for example, there are some people who do some design, you know, they are using these design capabilities that start the common, you know, more people. If you aggregate these three type of profile, you have now 300 million people. So now if you compare the 20 million and the 20 million gap in professional developer and the 300 million people are already available who have an aspiration now to say, hey, you know what, it's not productivity for the sake of productivity. I have a purposeful, let's say, intent in my way of thinking about work now. First of all, I want to work the way I want. I want to work, you know, where I want. And, you know, and I have, I'm going to test my corporation in terms of what's the impact they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and giving me enough agility to contribute to the growth for innovation. So if you bring all these things together, you have 300 million people who are there. Can't they be potentially some of these next generation of, let's say, you know, not developers, because they're not developers, but assets that you can bring to bolster the innovation.
Yeah.
That's the idea behind the local no-code. Mm. And of course you need governance, you know, because actually the best output that you can get is when you have these type of profile, non-professional developers, knowing exactly the challenge that they are facing every single day, and then you bring professional developers, and we call them a fusion team, and they work together. And they work together with a very governed, you know, let's say, capability, and with a clear ROI, basically, of the output. Because, you know, it's not about proliferation of application. You want that each application is really solving a problem that you can scale in a company. And that's the new wave that we see. You know, you bring together professional developers and citizen developers or business, let's say, users, tackling your real fundamental problems. And so these tools that are easy to use now are under the Power Platform.
Yeah.
Now you say, okay, I have Power Apps, which is the Power Application Development. So this is helping you to develop quick applications that solve problems on the mobile phone, on the desktop.
Yeah.
You know. But you have also Power Automate, which is helping you to automate processes, which is a huge opportunity that we have. The number of millions of hours wasted, you know, in meetings or replicating something that you do again and again and again, that can give you more efficiency.
So how is Microsoft kind of working the other end of that equation? Because up until now, we've been told that every kid, every person needs to learn how to code because the world is so complex. Now you're removing the complexity. And how are you supporting the pipeline of people coming into the workplace who are going to encounter this now with like this low-level like coding knowledge? Like how is Microsoft engineering that kind of customer pipeline?
Yeah, actually, if you start from, let's say, another lens before you're going to where you go, you can say, increasingly, customers want off-the-shelf solutions.
Mm.
Because that they know is that, you know, especially in the ERP environment, you know, for many, many, many years, you know, all the ecosystem has more benefit to delayed implementation,
yes,
to have, let's say, lengthy cost of implementation or consultancy and so on. But we are in a world where people want, you know, quick ROI.
Mm.
So you can say, oh, I promise you in 5 years you're going to get the benefit. People say, yeah, I agree, but you know, I need it now in 12 months. So that's where, in fact, somehow the opportunity starts, is about, let's say, the fact that this notion of speed, you know, is critical. And so we started to put, you know, in place, you know, the notion of off the shelf. So if you can do 90% of, let's say, what you need of the off the shelf solutions, and then the 90% of the 10 remaining percent, you can solve them with low code, no code.
Mm.
What's left is maybe a couple of percentage points that will require heavy customization.
Mm.
And so the way we are solving it is that to say, let's try to work, you know, as close as we can with the need that customers have by industries. And we are creating layers on top of our cloud by industry, so that if you are in retail, you need maybe some specific things that you don't need in financial services industry, but you need maybe in a non-profit environment and vice versa. So we are elevating that to be able to give you as much as you can off the shelf, to decrease your cost and to make where you want to spend the money on the most important thing.
Yeah.
And low code, no code is what we are doing now, because it's just helping to reach out almost this 98% of what you can do. And then the professional developers, you know, are very much going to address, let's say, the most complex or the last mile customization requirement. That's the picture of profession. The principle I think is important to understand is that in ERP especially, and you know, more than CRM, the vast majority of the current installed base are on-premise and heavily customized. So when you combine these two things, on-premise means non-scalable, non-agile.
Mm.
Every time you face a new situation, which is the world that we're living, it costs you a customization effort, a new implementation, a new consulting services fee, it costs a fortune. You know, and so the move to the cloud is, in fact, you know, one great lever, super critical to have the local data centers in both Johannesburg and Cape Town.
Mm.
And then, in fact, is more the local capability that helps you both automation and business user, you know, problem solving. So I think that's the way we are embarking in that journey. And so
that's crazy.
All these things.
Where is this compute happening?
So it's and you see, that's also the benefit of having local data center.
Yes.
Because the latency, you know, is just fixed by that. The data storage is in country. You know, and this is important for public sector, it's important for private sector. So that's another interesting example where you bring together the notion of innovation, because you have low-code, no-code potentially included in the user interface that you use. You have the new way of work, because somehow this way of hybrid is going to continue for, you know, for some time. But you don't have to relearn something. And then, you know, all the things that you don't like to do or can help you to do better, you know, are also, let's say, and the reason why it's important is because we talked about the shortage of talent.
Correct.
It's a reality.
Yeah.
But my coaching, also in my conversation with partner ecosystem and customers yesterday and the day before, was to say, while we have to tackle it, it's a joint responsibility, because there's no recipe of success, right? You know, we have to think, what does it make sense in South Africa and how we work together. At the same time, we should think about how we can be more effective or more efficient. You know, and I believe that it's a combination of these both, you know, almost work stream, that will help us to, you know, create a platform or work that is much better and more, you know, fulfilling for people and individuals, and at the same time more effective from a business productivity standpoint.
The grassroots of the education.
But how
system.
Do you sell to government the idea that automation is going to just eliminate millions of jobs?
Yeah, I think it's worth saying. I think the critical thinking about skills and what are the key requirement skills that, you know, will be there or even more important is disconnected from the type of jobs. Because
yeah.
in fact, you know, it's clear that maybe 50% plus of the job, you know, that will be created are not yet known.
Yeah.
So it's more important to have what is the common denominator of, let's say, you know, skills that you need to be able to capture. And also the other one thing is that because of the way both individuals think from a more purposeful, let's say, mind, you know, compared to maybe the past generations, you know, it's clear now that if you take maybe 50 years ago, you know, the people were, let's say, building on the plant or manufacturing
yeah.
example, you know, it was quite common to have someone, you know, almost doing all the career in the same company, you know, in Ford or, you know, the automotive
yeah.
industry in the very beginning. People were saying, you know what, my dad was or my mom was working there and, you know, retired from there. Now the more likely situation that people will have not only multiple, of course, let's say employers, but they will have maybe multiple type of, let's say, careers or
mm.
jobs, you know, even
mm.
because things will evolve. And that
yeah.
what are the ground skill set that you need to have to be able to agilely, you know, just go for that. And I think that's what we are.
Mm.
That's the key basis of the connection with the work that we do with both the academia and
mm.
on the public sector. I think it's you said it.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a good answer. that is a quote right there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, is there a recipe of success? Yeah,
I
don't think you can say, hey, you know what, if you do ABCD, you know, you have guarantees satisfaction. It doesn't
yeah.
exist.
We
but
just
don't
know yet.
Yeah, we
don't
know yet. Yeah. You know, if you think about the people who are doing, you know, I remember when I was studying, the people who were not able to go to medicine, but being able to do radio
yeah.
you know, analysis, that was not medicine, but that was, you know,
mm.
you were able to wear the white blue,
yes.
right? So people were, I'm entering in something that, you know, you feel good about it. I mean, now these things, you can say, well, you know, how many will you need? Because everything of this will be, you get in a machine, boom, the machine
mm.
scans you, and then you get the report, and then the real value comes from what do you do with the analysis that you get. Actually, even statistically, you can get even more insight to help the doctor to really say, you
yeah.
know what, that's what we need to do now. And but the same people have evolved, you know, they don't pursue this type of career, but they do another career because you need to have the understanding of this technology to be able to have the right output. So it's a different type of skill set, but it's a different type of job. But, you know, that's the way, you know, the evolution has gone through. So if you look at net, you don't have, let's say, value destruction or job destruction in the broad scale. Your point was right in terms of the geo component.
Yeah.
That is the one thing. But then this is also, you know, how much the society evolved to more and more services.
Mm.
And when you evolve to more services, let's say, around, you are less dependent to some degree of some in and out, let's say, situation. You know, think about what Israel has done. You know, starting with a military border, let's say, protection, then it was a cloud, you know, cybersecurity protection. It created an ecosystem to, enable startups to create huge value for
yeah.
the rest of the world, you know, but the starting point was security of borders or, you know, whatever.
Ooh,
you know?
It's a problematic conversation.
Then you take Russia, Ukraine,
yeah.
Trends, you know, what they do, are we
yeah.
going to come back? You know, it's just a... It's a fascinating world, but I think that what Ashley said, you know, in terms of skills is so important. I mean, even for ourselves, people, you know, what's the right coaching and guidance to our kids, right? You know, if you don't pay attention, you can put yourself in the advice that is exactly what you would have done 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not the right direction for them, right? And so it's I mean, even with your question, it's just connected to a bit of that.
Full disclosure. I love Microsoft services, and my Microsoft 365 account is something I cherish, and it has helped me a ton in work and personal life. I'm happy that the company is taking the lead in the next technology arms race, and will be watching closely as more startups take advantage of these new abilities. But that's a story for another day. Unencrypted is powered by Advert, the only sports advertising company on the continent that can put your brand on the virtual advertising boards of the world's biggest sports fields. Visit advert.com, ADDVIRTT.com, to take your brand out of the frame and into the action.